Hey, everybody. Welcome to Buzzing About Romance, a Sip and Discuss episode. I am Becky, and joining me for this episode is Jenny. Hi, Jenny.
Hey, Becky.
So it's just you and I. It's been a minute since an episode's just been you and I, so this will be fun, right?
Yes.
Although, before we got started here, Jenny and I spent a couple minutes chit-chatting before we went live about the secret lives of Mormon wives. If you are watching this series, send us a message and let us know. We're debating if we should maybe cover it a little bit.
Yeah.
Because we have
our 2 cents.
Because we have opinions on all the things. Right?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, I didn't realize the VMAs were on tonight, too.
Oh.
Apparently, yeah. That's our competition.
I'm too old. I mean... I don't think I watch music videos anymore.
The Secret Lives of Mormon Wives is available to stream on Hulu. All of season one is available currently. Anyway, let's talk about what we're here to talk about and not about trashy reality TV.
Because yeah, we could go on forever.
We could. So in our new format, we are diving into these book club style discussions as we sip and chat about selected titles. This week's title is a debut offering from Berkeley. It is the first traditionally published indigenous voiced rom-com. We are discussing The Truth According to Ember by Danica Nava. I do not know if this is a series, if this is standalone. Right now it is being marketed as a single book. Uh-huh. So I don't know if there's more books to come in this world or what. So Jenny is going to break down all the details for you.
Great. Release date is August 6th, 2024, so just about a month. Tropes: deception trope, friends to lovers, hidden identity, close proximity, forbidden romance, secret identity, workplace romance, and there is a third act breakup. Like Becky said, standalone at the moment. It's a single first person point of view. Put out percentage 64%, and audio narrator was Sienna East. It was just her.
Mm-hmm. And it's available everywhere. It's a traditionally published book. We actually listen to the audio out of our library. But it's available wherever you get books. If it's not in your library, you can request to have it added to your library. So overall, this book came on my radar because I saw that it was a own voice, indigenous woman writing a rom-com, which we haven't had.
Right. And the cover looks amazing.
The cover's gorgeous. The people have faces and, you know, you see the hair and the influence. Like, it's bringing it. But I want to caveat all of the things we're going to say that this is a debut.
Right.
And it was not a stellar debut, in my opinion.
And I would agree. I did listen to the audio, and I'm not normally an audio listener, so I wasn't sure how much the narrator's tone played into my perception of the book.
Well, I ended up doing back and forth because, to be honest, the narration was annoying. It was slow. There wasn't a lot of tone, emotion, or inflection. In the performance, it felt very much reading word on page.
Okay, I wasn't sure if it was just me, because that's how I was like things that should have been really funny would be said, but they wouldn't be said any differently than...
There was no inflection in conversation. There was no inflection or voice change in banter. There was no inflection and voice change in the moments of flirtation or desire. And... so I don't think that this is the audio quality was fine.
Right.
You couldn't, you know, there was no big misses in the audio. It wasn't too quiet. It wasn't too loud. But it was not a quality performance.
Yeah, I would say it wasn't, like, she read the book to you.
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't as much of a performance.
And I do think, and let's talk about the fact that it's single first person point of view, because we recently did another debut book that was a single first person point of view. And I don't feel that in The Next Best Fling, we missed his
Right.
point of view. Like, the book was messy, it was engaging, it was delightful. We were in it.
Yes.
I walked away from this book going, oh. And I believe you say his name Danawa, but they in the book call him Dave.
Yes.
And so I feel like had we had Dave's point of view, particularly because there was so much deception and miscommunication and misdirection of information, that how he processed it was needed to understand why, in the end, he took her back.
Right, because I struggled like after like I don't know, like she didn't even really have a grand gesture, like she was like, yeah, I really struggled with the
Yeah, and I know we'll talk about it a little bit. I did not believe in their HEA. I didn't even feel like it was an HFN.
Yeah, I mean, because the epilogue you could maybe, yeah, I would agree.
You know, there's a girl over on TikTok that some people love, some people hate, that talks about books where she doesn't think the characters stay together in the end. Like, 2 years in the future, are they still together? I don't know about this one. I don't think they
Yeah, I don't
are.
know either.
I just
Yeah.
think there's a lot to overcome, and we didn't do enough soul searching, what's the word? Not confession, reconciliation, enough penance. Like, there just wasn't enough penance, there's the word, that to make me believe that she deserved his forgiveness.
Yes, 100%. Because like he closes the door on her at first, and I'm like, yeah, good for you. And I also had the thought, like, if this was like a reverse situation, like in a heterosexual, like if that was a male doing all those lies, like it would not be okay to like take him back.
No, and I think in a situation like that, he'd absolutely have been the villain, but she wasn't villainized.
No.
And I'm not saying that she didn't have a reason. So let's talk about the setup a little bit, because she kind of has reasons, but again, it's the penance, it's the soul searching, it's showing us who she truly is and who her heart is, because this book felt a lot of like doing what she had to just get by. It's like when your kid cleans their room and they just shove
Right.
everything under the bed and in the closet and like, look, my floor is clean.
Yes, that's a very good description.
That's just how this book felt to me, like at that third act breakup. Like, we just shoved everything in the closet and under the bed, and the floor is clean.
Yeah, and I mean, I think it even opens with her being like, she's not a liar, but like we see like on the first or second page that she's already said a lie, right? Like, so we don't see her as a truth teller.
Yeah, for sure. So our heroine's name is Ember, and she struggles. She is struggling, and you know, being poor, you and I both been there. We
Yes,
both
that was
have,
very relatable.
yeah. And no, we are not a person of color. We are white women and we are married to white men. So there is a certain amount of privilege we have, but we both have been victims of circumstances that have not allowed us to climb economically. And, you know, we've had to figure out how to stretch a dollar, or, you know, I was trying to explain to my kids the other day about 19 or 2003 or 2005 when the kids were little and, you know, we were struggling. Pork roast was 99 cents a pound and I could make
Right.
like five meals out of one pork roast. And my kids are like, "Did you really do that to us?" And I'm like, "I sure did." It's like chicken breasts and they're 99 cents a pound. We're eating a
Yes.
lot of it. So like I could relate to her that her circumstances were not of her own making, and getting out of them, there was no clear or easy path.
Right. She doesn't have like a support system to fall back on, which is like that has been like my experience as a poor person. Like, I don't have like something goes wrong, it's my problem. So like something went wrong for her, and her brother's really crappy.
Her brother is a piece of crap, and you feel bad because the people surrounding her are not helpful or kind, you know. And I had the opposite experience of you. I did have a mom and a dad that stepped in and helped build Mike and I up as we were struggling, but they were also struggling because now, you know, they're at a certain point in their life and they're helping to raise a family of four and themselves. So, you know, nothing was ever easy. And Ember has that also. She also is working a dead-end job. She works at the bowling alley and she's desperate to find a career. She doesn't want to just be working a service industry job, retail, entertainment, you know, food service. She doesn't want to do that. She dreams, and again, dream big, but she dreams of being an accountant. And she lost her
Well,
college savings.
it's the stability, right? Like she wants, when you've never had that, that's
Yeah.
very alluring.
And again, you know, growing up as an Indigenous person with the society working against them, and then you have this loss of your college funds because of your
Right.
piece of
And
crap.
both her parents left too, right?
Right, yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
So, I mean, nothing was in her favor. But she makes the conscious choice. This isn't an accidental deception. You know, sometimes you fall into a situation where there's accidental deception in a book, and I think that that's palatable when
I
that
would agree.
happens. This book
Where
would.
it's like they say the truth, but like the other person misinterpret like the meaning of that. That
Right.
is not the case.
Yeah, or doesn't necessarily hear the truth. You know, and we've seen that with billionaire romances, blue collar romances, like, you know, we've seen accidental deception. But she, out of desperation, embellishes her resume, which has her landing this accounting job at the company called Technics.
Which we still don't know what they are selling.
We don't. And I don't know that we needed to.
No, we didn't. I just thought it was funny because I'm like, this is like so American.
Yeah. And so it kind of did have some office vibes to it. Like they have a company, but we don't know what the company does, but we're here and we do work for the company. So because of her lies, it sets off this chain of events, this chain reaction, and she is struggling to maintain the lie.
It just okay. I really struggle like anxiety wise. Like she just because she just she needs a new lie to cover up the next lie, and like oh.
It's exhausting. It's exhausting also to follow her lies. And that was the other piece in this book that I kind of struggled with. You would start to connect with your, and you would think, okay, I can understand the justification of that choice, you know? But then, like, there's another one compiled on top of it. How many times am I going to have to say, okay, I understand that lie. How do I
Right.
make another lie? Like, when is it too much? And as a reader, particularly because we never saw the interactions or engagements from anyone else's point of view, we can only perceive how she's presenting it. And that was a problem here.
Yes. Yeah, especially like when the lies end up being lies outside of work too, and then like is anybody believing what you're saying, or are they just like think you're joking? Like, yeah, it would have been nice to know what other people were thinking.
So this is a workplace dynamic, and I love coworker romances, the tension, that close proximity, you know, the fact that you're stuck in it unless you're willing to quit your job. And she wasn't going to quit because, well, she needed a job. But this work environment was hostile.
Yeah, and I mean, it's I have not worked an office job, but it's kind of how I imagine office work is.
Yeah, I mean, I worked sort of corporate-esque, but I was in a call center, but no, this was full of, this was toxic. This was toxic
Right.
corporate environment. Microaggressions, lots of bigotry, especially for a native woman like Ember. You know,
Yes.
the jokes, the stuff that they were saying to her or implying, it really, like, my heart hurt.
Right. And I'm that was one of her, well, I mean, I think she called it a lie, but it wasn't, that was probably like one of those like half truths, because she put herself down as white instead of Native American.
Yeah.
And she is white, but she's also Native American.
Well, and because of that, you know, the constant scrutiny, and that felt real. Like, that was really well done in the book. And I went on to read the author notes at the end of the book. And the author explains a lot of things that she has faced these kind of experiences in corporate America, which, you know, I appreciate the author opening herself up like that. But in this romance, do you think that that worked? I don't think so. Like, her lies made some of the scrutiny and toxicity, like, this is the reward for lying.
Yeah, I could. Yeah, I would agree. I think it worked better with the male main character. Like, there was one point where she's working, like, working for the secretary of the CEO or something, right?
Something,
Yeah,
yeah.
she's working for that like head person in their building, and he like yells for her to get the Indian, so she gets like an Indian. A person from India.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought that was hilarious.
That was hilarious, but again, the audiobook did not make it as hilarious as it should have been.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay, so let's talk about the romance because we did touch a little on the fact that this HA did not feel believable.
Yeah.
This is a forbidden romance. I love forbidden. It is a go-to trope for me. You know, you put rules around being together. I like to see the rules being broken. I think they did an okay job with this. I mean, it was kind of expected because they're coworkers. Of course, the company is going to have a no dating policy.
Right. And again, that I think this is where it would have been beneficial to get his viewpoint, because he doesn't seem as concerned about it. Like, he's just like, who cares? Like,
Yeah.
we'll just go talk to HR. Like,
But I also think that's because he's the IT guy.
true, he can change things.
Well, he can change things. I'm sure he wouldn't. Most IT guys have integrity. But also, I think that there is a level of they can't function without me.
Right, that is very true. Like, I mean, who takes the IT guy like to their presentation to run
Right?
the PowerPoint?
I mean, do I often ask the IT guy how to do stuff? I'll ask them how to do stuff, and then when they don't give me the answer I want, I just restart my machine.
You're not getting private flights. I
No.
mean,
No. So, I mean, he did seem a lot more lackadaisical about the forbidden piece. And again, I take that as this is an IT guy, and they seem a little less bothered by the rules.
yeah.
I don't know. I have a rule follower, but he also doesn't seem to be as bothered by them.
Yeah, I could see that. Yeah.
So as Amber and Dave grow closer, she continues to hide the truth about her resume and qualifications. And because of that added tension, I felt like every time we remembered one of the lies, the chemistry would just be like pouring a bucket of ice water on it.
Yes. Like, I think I was done with the cat. Like, because she's allergic to cats. And apparently she is not, like, a little allergic to cats. Like, she is, like...
allergic.
Yeah, like, eyes swelling shut, allergic. And she still just keep, I'm like... just tell him you're allergic to the cat. Like,
right. Right. So one of the things that I really did enjoy about this book was the native joy. The book really did celebrate her native identity when she allowed it.
Yeah. Yeah.
There was both Chickasha and Cherokee representation within the book. It also highlights the difficulties faced by Indigenous people in predominant white workplaces, including the microaggressions and cultural appropriations. And this book takes place in Oklahoma. And right. I think that, you know, because of the push west of the Indigenous people, this is prevalent out in the West and the Southwest.
Yeah, because... I don't know if they, like, made any, like, reference to, like, the res or the reservation, but, like, it seems like their community is at least...
some of it.
Yeah, like, substantial amount of people are Indigenous.
Yeah, and living on reservations and, you know, trying to leave the reservation and move more into the, you know, white culture and... this is where some of the problems and the microaggressions happen. But I like that the author opened that up. Like, she talked about it. She didn't shy away from those. She didn't make this that this was, like, the perfect experience. Like, this felt very real.
Right. And I, like, on the flip side of that, she also, like, said, hey, look, there are, like, organizations, like, here to help you. Like, it's okay to take advantage of those.
Yeah.
So I really enjoyed that she was, like, looked at the whole perspective of a Native American.
And this is an own voice. There is an authentic perspective to the challenge that the Native individuals face in the workplace, as well as the personal and cultural triumphs. And Danica shares that in her author's note. So
right.
If you read this, I highly encourage you to stick to the end and read her author's note, because it really does add some context to the story. And it made some things. So I ended up, when I was struggling with the book, and I passed the audio off to you, and I ended up reading it, I ended up pausing where I was at and going and reading her author note, because I was struggling with this book.
That's fair. Because I also got to a point where I'm like, oh my gosh, I don't know if this can be redeemed.
Yeah. I mean, I wanted to love this book. It's kind of how I felt about last week's book. I wanted to love it. Like, this was anticipated for me. And I love miscommunication. And I don't love deception. But if deception is done with purpose, like, I get it. But it just kept snowballing bigger and bigger. And it just got so out of control that I was like, I lost the joy.
I agree.
So I also feel like, and we talked about this with whether or not we thought the HEA would last or not. I don't think that, so there's believability issues here, right? Like,
yes,
can
very much.
Dave at least for ever me. Trust her again?
Well, because doesn't she like, so he doesn't take her back, and then she's like persistent and he does take her bag. They're back inside the house, and I think he asks her about the cat, and she like says she's not allergic to the cat. And he's like, "Your like left nostril like flares when you lie." Like,
Right. Well, and there's also the piece like she gets into the accounting and she has to learn a program like QuickBooks. And all of a sudden she mastered it. I will tell you, people, I tried to use QuickBooks for accounting and banking and invoicing for author stuff. And I had it for 4 months. I did all their tutorials that came with the program and I watched it online. Like I'm not using it anymore.
Yeah, you're not like learning that on the fly, like
No. Okay, I also feel like we have to talk about the pacing.
okay, yeah.
While the audiobook was slow.
Yeah, I bumped it up. Like I started out at 1.25 and I think I ended at 1.75.
Yeah. But this concept was appealing. Again, we like forbidden, we like office and workplace. But the backstories of the characters, the development of the romance was so rushed.
I also felt like there was a lot of things going on that were just kind of scraped over. Like you have her brother and his like time in jail and the bail money that was supposed to get her to school, and then you have his sister and like she has Down syndrome. Like it's a really cute and like she's a lovable character, but like we don't get any more information. Like,
Right. Like, how is that affecting him? How does that affect the family? How does that affect his ability to work, his relationship with Ember? And Ember's messy. She's flawed. And I am not saying that every character needs to be perfect, but her flaws were like as big as the Grand freaking Canyon. And she
yeah,
wasn't doing anything to backfill those.
and again, for me, it was that we didn't like we started out with a lie, so like we didn't get to see. I don't feel like at any point we get to see like her genuine.
Do you think this was a quick read? I feel like the
I mean,
pacing, it wasn't a lot of pages, but the pacing was such that it felt not quick, even though there were rushed pieces.
yeah, I okay, so I don't usually do audio. I did the audio and I did homework at the same time, and I usually can't double tap, like multitask like that.
Yeah.
So I yeah.
Okay, so thumbs up, thumbs down. And this is, would you recommend this? Thumbs up, thumbs down. So if somebody's listening to this, is this a book you would recommend?
Thumbs down.
So I'm going to go thumbs down. I want to support this author, though. I want her to
I
get
agree.
another, to write another book. So would I buy it? Yes, but it's one of those that I'm buying and I didn't necessarily read.
Right. Yeah. I think there's potential
Yeah.
for more stories that are.
Yeah, I'm not going to give up on this author. Like, I'm still going to check out the next book she writes. But this read like a debut, it paced like a debut. And I think that they also fell into some very easy romance
Like,
stereotypes.
yeah, like rom-com, like it's kind of like slapstick,
Yeah.
like there was a like pregnant lady that she takes her place. Like you knew she was gonna like, I was just waiting for her water to break because I'm like, oh.
Right. They leaned into, the expected. And I wish they hadn't done that. I would have rather have seen them like what I think would have been an interesting in this. I think what would have made this book better is if we actually started at the breakup
Oh,
and
yeah.
how they moved forward in the forgiveness and how she could have a redemption arc. Like,
That would,
I
yeah.
think a redemption arc for her would have made for a better romance. Like, you've fucked around and found out, and now you've got to repair. I think that if the three-fourths of the story had been her movement of repairing what she did and lied about, would have helped this with the characters, yeah, the pacing, and, you know, the development of the character arcs.
Yeah, I would agree, because we kind of get more of three-fourths of her lying and, like, just creating this web of trouble for herself, and then she gets stuck in a corner and what are you gonna do? And then she's like, well, I gotta fix this. And she does the, like, necessary things to fix it, like getting a different job, getting a different car. But, like, again, with, like, there was no, like, grand gesture, I felt, on her part.
Yeah, not enough redemption or grovel.
Because she just knocks on his door, right? Like, yeah. She doesn't.
Yeah. Okay, so, again, we're kind of murky here. I wanted to give you some other own voice rom-coms that I think are fantastic. That, you know, if you want to support own voice authors and you want really well-written rom-coms, here are some that I highly recommend. The Kiss Quotient by Helen Hong. The Wedding Date by Jasmine Gilroy. Alexa Martin's Inception, which I've talked about before. It's, you know, a football romance. It's really good. Get a Life, Chloe Brown by Talia Hibbert. The Boyfriend Project by Farah Rahsaan. Sorry. You Had Me at Ola by Alexis Daria. Faker by Sarah Smith. So if you are looking for own voice romances, those are ones that I would put my seal of approval on and be like, oh, my God, read those. And I do hope this author will keep writing. I'm interested. I just think that the deception got too out of control and it lost me.
I think it would maybe, like, if we started with her friend instead, like, might have been.
You know, yeah, because if we had started with her friend and they could have built out, like, how rough the life was, and, you know, we would have seen it from other point of, and I think it's just the point of view.
Yeah, it's, I mean,
because his life seems a little easier, right?
Yes.
Like, he didn't struggle like she struggled.
But I also, like, I was really concerned where his sister was.
Spent a lot of time worried about that, huh?
Yes, I did.
And Stacey brings up that it's a big pet peeve for her that the heroine also needs to do a big grovel sometimes. And I 1,000% agree. This is a book that's a perfect example of where the female heroine needed to do the work and she got off kind of easy. And had this, like you said, been reversed, we'd be sitting here screaming about him, ripping him apart.
Major red flags.
Like, yeah. Like, don't take him back. And I feel that way about her.
Yes. Because I was yelling at him. I was like, no. No, no, keep the door closed. Keep it closed. Make her do more.
Don't open the door. Okay. So that wraps up our discussion of The Truth According to Ember by Danica Neva. Thanks for joining us, and we hope you enjoyed diving into this unique rom-com with us. We're back on Sunday. I'm back on Sunday. I've given the co-host kind of the Sundays off. They'll be back in 2 weeks or a week from Sunday, because everybody got busy with back to school, and September just seems to be not easy for anybody right now.
Yeah, it's a little crazy.
It's funny because everyone's like, oh no, we're going back to school, like, we'll be fine. This was like right? Beginning of August, end of July. Everyone's like, no, we're good, we're good. And then here we are tonight, there's two of us.
Yes.
I've kind of doing something a little different on Sundays. So Rachel, Read with Rach, who's been on the podcast periodically, she's coming back because Sister has fallen down the pregnancy trope rabbit hole.
Oh.
Like, she cannot get out of it. She's like, I need pregnancy romances. I'm like, you hate
Didn't
them.
Didn't she just do that?
Well, and she just had a new baby. But she's reading them all. So she and I, we've been talking about doing a pregnancy trope episode.
Right, forever.
Forever. So it felt like a good time to do it. So Rachel and I will be here Sunday night, 9 o'clock, and we are going to break down all the different pregnancy tropes. And there are different ones, including my favorite, secret baby. I know. Talk about deception. I like a secret baby. And so you won't want to miss it. I promise it'll be a really great episode. And make sure you mark your calendars for next Wednesday. And we're going to be back and we're going to talk about Where It Ends by Ashley Muniz. You guys, this is the fourth book in a series. And I'm making everybody pick it up at the end of the series.
Yeah, I just downloaded it today and I was like, oh, should I have read the other one? Well,
we'll see. Well, so I will say the three audios for the first three books are on Hoopla.
Okay.
So I have read book one and book two. I did not read book three yet, but I'm just going to skip it and go to book four because book four, this is the character I've been waiting for. Gotcha. So it is evil of me. But it is also the best part of me to make you all read a book that's fourth in a series. Yeah. Community service. Anyway, we will see you here, everybody. Thanks for joining us. Thanks, Jenny, for hanging out tonight.
You're welcome.
And until next time, everybody, happy reading.
Find us on Instagram at Buzzing About Romance or on Twitter at Buzzing Romance. If you like the podcast, please leave a review. If you'd like to support us directly, join the Bookcase and Coffee Patreon and receive exclusive content only available to Patreon members. Check out bookcaseandcoffee.com for our on-the-shelf show notes.